Pass here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. You heard that song from the record Look on the Bright Side, which came out last October. And before that, you heard an interview with Devin of Brass and CJSF volunteer Ava, talking about all sorts of stuff, talking about good local bands. And I really liked the answer that the best way to find a local band you like is to go to a local show. That's how that's how I got into a lot of local bands, is by going to shows, and then obviously hosting a radio show about local music helped in that regard too. Two things that you out there you can do if you want. You can be like Craig and come and sit in on a show. You can come volunteer, get trained to host your own radio show. You can attend events and write reviews. If you want to attend a local show and write a review for our website, or come and talk about it on the radio, that's something you can do. Or if you have other wild ideas, this is the place for them. Our goal is to help you realize your radio dreams. So if you've got an idea that is wild or ordinary or just specific to you, let us know. You can get in touch with our volunteer coordinator, Juanita, at VOL4CJSF at SFU.ca. That's VOL, the number 4CJSF at SFU.ca. Or if you want to do talk stuff, you can email me, Jesse, CJSFPA at SFU.ca. Or if you want to just dive right in, you can go to CJSF.ca/signup and fill out the form, and Juanita will get in touch. So, yeah, we listened to some punk in the first little bit, and now we have almost the whole second half of the show. So, Craig, you're here, you've joined us, and I wanna give you a chance to chime in a little bit. Off mic, we were talking a little bit about, and you're going to have to forgive me because I've forgotten the specific name of the film organization that you are a member of.
The VIFF Center, yes.
So that's the Vancouver International Film Festival Center?
Yes.
Tell me about the organization and what your membership means.
Well, I'm a newer member this year. It was a gift from my brother for Christmas, but I'm a big fan of film, and over the last couple of years, I've really started to get into the more smaller, independent, and classic, like outside of the, you know, big budget blockbusters. And that's really what the VIFF Center and other film centers really strive to do. They strive to show films that are outside of the common, you know, multiplexes. And I find, for anybody who thinks, like, oh, that may not be for me, or, you know, I'm fine with just the, you know, Marvel film released every couple of months, I would suggest, like, going to these kind of films there, because I have a membership, but you don't need one. You can buy a ticket, like, online or up front. And I find it can really help see a different perspective. Like, a couple months ago, I saw this film called Make Way for Tomorrow. It's a classic film from 1937 about an old couple who have to move in with their children because they've lost their home due to the, you know, Great Depression in the 30s. And, like, it was an interesting film. It's hard to explain because I don't want to give away the ending.
Sure.
But it was one of those films where, like, I find with, like, anything, like, you know, the current day films of, like, you know, like Transformers or Marvel, like, I'll watch it and then, you know, it'll be interesting and I'll forget about it. But this was, like, one that, you know, it really, like, stuck with me, just the ideas the film was saying, and just the, like, in, you know, all the little intricacies about, like, in 1937, this was still deep in the Hays Code, which was a form of, like, rules, you know, Hollywood had to follow, self-imposed, so the government didn't do it. It's all kinds of things. Like, it specifically mentions, you know, you're not allowed to include white slavery, and it also mentions, you know, like stuff about, you know, marital stuff. So there are times where, like, someone will go into the bedroom of the husband and wife will go into their bedroom, and there are twin beds in the bedroom.
Of course.
And it's little things like that that you notice, and just, like, you know, like, everything's, like, real in terms of the film. There's no special effects and all that. And that's something that, you know, I wouldn't have discovered had I not gone to, like, seen that at the Viv Center and seen those kind of films. Because, like, it really does give you a more of an appreciation for films. So, last week I went to the annual general meeting for the Viv Center. And the annual, and I've been to a couple of annual general meetings of different organizations, so I kind of knew what to expect, but it was interesting to see that, because, like, they mentioned that coming out of the pandemic, you know, a lot of, like, film, you know, appreciation nonprofits like them haven't done as well because, you know, the pandemic really took a chunk out of a lot of businesses, but theaters especially.
Totally.
But they've actually really come out of the pandemic better than most. And that's allowing them to do a lot more events than that. Like, I know this summer they're doing a whole tribute to the 80s with a bunch of 80s films, which that's another benefit of these film centers. You can see classic films on the big screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, back in the 80s, they weren't building movies for Betamax. They were building them for the theatrical experience. So I'm excited to go and see that. I'm excited that they're still getting people going to the films there and seeing movies like that, because it'd be great to see people have experience like I did with Make Way for Tomorrow, where it's something that you really get to think about and something that really, you know, is eye-opening in a time where there can feel like a lot of sameness in not just film, but in entertainment in general.
Totally. I think there's a couple things there I want to pick apart. One is obviously the idea that VIFF has of sort of highlighting content that you're not going to see other places, right? That's something that CJSF shares, right? Like, that's one of the sort of community media goals is to help expose ourselves and you, the audience, to stuff that you wouldn't hear or come in contact with otherwise. So I love that. The second was, you know, you were talking about, I'm sorry, I've forgotten the name of the film from the 30s.
Make Way for Tomorrow.
That it seems like there's probably a lot in there that might feel familiar in a way to people today, just in terms of, like, dealing with this economic crisis and having to maybe have, like, a different, an uncomfortable living situation, navigating those things. But then you get all these things that now are anachronisms, like the Hays Code and all of that, but at the time are very much a part of what went into making film and making media at that time. So that's really interesting to me. And it made me think about when you're talking about, you know, like, just having this film that is an alternative to the Marvel movies, the big blockbusters, Transformers, that I went and saw the movie Air recently, which is, like, a, you know, still, like, a pretty big budget movie, played on lots of multiplexes, etc. But when I watched it, I was struck by the fact that at no point in the entire movie is there any, like, action. Like, there's no, like, even, there isn't even the threat of physical violence at any point in the movie, and yet it's an entirely compelling story that has me hooked from beginning to end. And it's just interesting how rare that is today in a movie that you would go see. I mean, even, like, movies that come out for streaming or whatever, like, there always seems to be some, like, regardless of the genre, some amount of adventure or action or peril in that way. So it's really interesting to watch a movie that did not have any of that.
Yeah, I've seen Air myself, and That is something that I am wondering is starting to switch, because if you track the box office this month, a lot of these bigger films have all these special effects. They haven't been doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now we're entering a sea change where there was a lot of, when the pandemic hit, that it was thought that mid-budget films that are more story-driven, that don't contain a lot of action, were going to go by the wayside. But it's looking now that those might have to start coming back, because studios are starting to realize you can't put out like 20, 200, $300 million films and expect them to get $1 billion every time. Totally. Only 56 films in the history of the industry have done that. So VIF really helps like get into see those smaller films. And if people go and see them and build, they'll put them in more theaters. And I know people may think, oh, well, you can watch them on streaming and that, but
it's different.
It is different, because streaming just it becomes content when it goes to streaming, because you know something gets thrown up there and nobody remembers it. I saw a joke recently where somebody posted, there's this film called The Snowman.
Okay.
From 2016, starring Michael Fassbender, and it has like horrible ratings. It didn't do well at all, and yet a couple months ago it appeared on Netflix and was like the most watched movie on Netflix.
Right.
And people were showing like, for all the money Netflix puts into their content, their number one films are still these like
terrible
nothing films that you only slightly remember because you heard it bomb elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the nature of like stream. Like it becomes content when it's there. When it's theatrical, there's a lot more of a conversation. That's why like this weekend they're coming out with the Jennifer Lawrence movie No Hard Feelings, and I'm really interested in seeing that one because it's specifically a comedy, and those are just not being made as frequently these days. And those are the kind of mid-budget films that I want to see more of. And as much as I want to see films at the VIF Center, I live out in Coquitlam, so it's not like
it's not easy.
If I go out there, that has to be my thing for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's I believe like you know, entertainment is an ecosystem, and it needs to have in every single film should have a representation there, because if it doesn't, the whole thing like it does. It may not fail, but it falters.
For sure. And I mean, I know that I for a while now have felt this sort of particularly like Marvel fatigue, but just generally like fatigue towards like, yeah, these big sort of special effects driven blockbusters. And it's such a breath of fresh air to just get like an interesting movie that is built a different way. Right. And CJSF we usually have a sponsorship agreement with VIF, so we get to send people to go review films, and often we will have like a specific film that we sponsor. A few years ago, we sponsored Edge of the Knife, which is a film that was made entirely on Haida Gwaii, featuring an almost entirely Haida cast, and the whole movie is shot in the Haida language. And it's subtitled, obviously. But it's, again, like that kind of thing that I'm not going to find just browsing through on Netflix, right? Like, it has to be a particular thing. And I think that another part of the theater streaming difference is, so I'm really big into the idea of, like, the ritual, right? And I think that with art, you know, even just like the act of making art, the act of like, if you're painting, for example, like the act of like getting all your stuff together, setting up your space, and then doing the art, there is something of a ritual to that, right? You're doing the same thing over and over. You're doing these things and hoping to obtain some sort of result through it that is often, you say, spiritual or, you know, psychological or whatever it is. And I think that by treating a movie as something that, yeah, you go to the theater, like you go, you set time aside for it, you go, you buy your tickets, you line up, you get your snacks, you go, you find your seat, you sit there, you endure the barrage of terrible commercials, and then you watch a couple trailers, and then you're just there. You're in the theater. And so I think that there's something about the actual experience of going to the theater to watch the movie that can really make a big difference in that way.
Yeah, I myself, it's funny you mentioned the commercials, because at the Viv General Meet, there was somebody who was, like, really upset about, you know, the commercials being shown. And, like, you know, I'm a person where I don't mind that stuff.
Hey, you got to make money.
You got to make money, and that's a good way of doing it. But on the theatrical experience, like, I am, you know, I am one of those people who really advocate for it, because I've heard people say, like, oh, it's like, you know, a theater experience is elitist because it costs money or like that. But the truth is, like, I think people, like, we've gotten to the sense that with streaming, like, oh, we want everything to go that way. But it can't work like that, because mm-hmm. we're just not going to get, you know, interesting films and different ideas. It's something that we really, theatrical really brings that forward, and that's why I want all kinds of films, because the theatrical experience works with everything. But I feel like lately they've, like, okay, anything that's like a comedy, especially because that's the genre that's been hit the most, it's like, well, this can be thrown on to streaming.
Right. It's like there's this thought that those kinds of movies don't gain anything from being on the big screen, which is in my, and I think your opinion, false. Right. Like, there is value to seeing films other than the big obviously the big special effects things, like, yeah, it makes sense. A big screen, you want to see the visuals, but we've been watching movies in theaters for a long time for a reason, right?
Yeah, well, like, when I've looked at theaters, the thing with theaters is you can look at, like, every kind, when you look at every kind of, like, entertainment when it comes to, like, how it's been, like, distributed, outside of, like, plays, which still happen, the theatrical experience really, like, its core thing hasn't changed in over 100, you know, 120 years. Like, it's still people going into a theater, sitting in chairs, watching a movie on a screen, mm-hmm. you know. It hasn't, it's not like, you know, watching things at home where they went to, like, the TV and then the VCR and then the DVD and then streaming. It's still, like, it's almost a connection to the past, because mm-hmm. what people were somebody watching a movie in the 1930s and someone watching it now, it's very much still the same experience. The only thing that's really changed is that, you know, there's been, like, sound and color put in now, which, you know, that's the biggest advancements. And things have gone better, digital quality and that, but the core is still there, which I always find interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're down to 10 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to play one last bit of music, and then we'll come back and wrap up. Cool conversation about film with Craig here.
It is one of my passions.
All right, this is the artist Status Non-Status with a track from their most recent release, January 3rd. This one is called Glide, and if you're a fan of Neutral Milk Hotel, you'll probably like the way this one sounds.
Thank you.
to speak up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. You just heard Glide by Status Non-Status. And that's we have a little bit of time here. I do want to end on my rotating weekly feature, which, for your benefit, audience, and also Craig, so we have a remote studio down at near Main and Hastings that we can broadcast from or do pre-records from, etc. It has also turned into our sort of auxiliary storage for our CD collection. You listeners cannot see, we're in the B studio right now, which is also auxiliary storage. In here there are, you know, there's a bunch of boxes of files and stuff, but there are also crates full of cassette tapes. Those are behind you, Craig. There's milk crates and other crates full of vinyl records. But down at 312, our remote studio, we have a portion of the digitized CD library. And while I'm down there, I like to sort of go through, see if I can find any gems, and play one of those gems for you and me. And this week, I have one of my all-time favorite artists. Craig, are you familiar with the works of Mr. Weird Al Yankovic?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Do you have a favorite Weird Al song? I know this; it's like picking your favorite child, probably.
Oh, God, it is. I like a lot of his, some of these, like, you know, like A Surgeon or, you know, I'm Fat. That one's that one's a good one. And, I'm trying not to get too. I know we don't have much time in the show, but I could talk about like Weird Al for a whole
forever.
Show.
Well, hey, maybe that's our next show plan. Is we'll just dive into Weird Al. I found the CD single for Amish Paradise by Weird Al from the record Bad Hair Day,
great one,
an all-time classic, and that's what's gonna carry you through until Democracy Now at 11. So, Craig, thanks for hanging out with me for the hour. You out there, thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jesse.
Of course. Here we go. Amish Paradise.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain, but that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds the chickens and Jacob plows. Fool, and I've been milking and plowing so long that even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone. I'm a man of the land, I'm into discipline. Got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. But if I finish all of my chores and you finish dying, then tonight we're going to party like it's 1699. Best friend and most alive, living in an Amish paradise. A shrimp bar once or twice, living in an Amish paradise. If hard work is sacrifice, living in an Amish paradise. If self-rule's a discount price, living in an Amish paradise. A local boy kicked me in the butt last week. I just smiled at him and I turned the other cheek. I really don't care. In fact, I wish him well, 'cause I'll be laughing.